You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
And one of the facts in your estimation is that Negro and white can never live together in America.
Evidently, the white man feels that the Negro can never live with him because it's the white man who is stopping integration. I'm not the one who is stopping Negroes from integrating with whites. I'm not the one who keeps Negroes from integrating white schools. And so don't put the burden of proof on me. It is the white man himself who is guilty and whose guilt proves that the Negro and the white man can't live side by side. Now, if I'm wrong in saying they can't, just prove that I'm wrong by doing it. Or just show me one place where it's done. It can't be done in New York City. It won't be done anywhere in this country.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here. Indian land.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for the smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
I charge the white man with being the greatest liar on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest drunkard on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest swine eater on earth. Yet the Bible forbids it. I charge the white man with being the greatest gambler on earth. I charge the white man, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, with being the greatest murderer on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest peace breaker on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest adulterer on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest robber on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest deceiver on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest troublemaker on earth. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I ask you, bring back a verdict of guilty as charged.
C'était des intelligents de radio.
Internet radio for smart of the
This is the Angry Indian reporting to you from Port Angeles, Washington, in the Great Pacific Northwest. deep in Indian country. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm nowhere near the Dinye reservation, but wherever I stand is Indian country. I don't give a damn. Where it is in North America, where I stand, is indigenous land. Squim, never been up here before. A lot of native people, but it's kind of shaky up here. There's been a lot of racial profiling of the, you know, Mexican community, who of course are Indian brothers and sisters from south of the Rio Grande. And because they can't tell the difference, Filipinos, natives, you know, anyone that's brown basically is dealing with this harassment, whether they were born here or not, whether they're legal or not. So, you know, we're noticing that. It's a shame under a black president that this is happening, but I mean, what do you expect? This is capitalism. What do you expect? Someone has to be on the bottom. Someone has to be on the bottom, and white men will never put themselves at the bottom. You know, Western Europeans have a certain pecking order, and you know, we see this. We've always seen this. We saw this in what happened with the breakup of Yugoslavia. Say what you want about Josef Tito. He kept everybody together. You know, and, you know, Croats married Serbians, and Serbians married Albanians, and, you know, everybody got along. You know, now, not to say that there weren't ethnic squabbles. I mean, Philly had ethnic squabbles. You know, Miami right now is having ethnic squabbles. I mean, Cubans have come in and completely displaced the African community there, who had fought all through the 50s, 60s, and early 70s for their rights. And then the Mariel Boatlift came around. And, you know, what happened? You know, there was a political reason for this, of course. You know, they were trying to push the, you know, the anti-Cuban agenda by supporting the Cubans against the African community when it came to employment, when it came to housing, when it came to political representation. And the African community there, I mean, exploded, you know, at one point when President Carter was in office, when Jimmy Carter was president. There was a Marine, ex-Marine. Well, is there really such a thing as an ex-Marine? No, I really don't believe there is. So I'm just going to say this, Marine. I can't remember the brother's name, but he decided to take he was a local businessman, has served. I believe he was a Vietnam era Marine Corps. Local businessman, employed quite a few people in the African community. I believe he lived in Overton, or what was left of Overton, which was the African community in Florida that was totally decimated by eminent domain. But that's something else. But in any case, this brother was on a late night motorcycle ride. He had a right to do that in America. That's what he fought for as a Marine. And one thing led to another, and they said that he had an accident on the motorcycle, and that's what led to his injuries. Basically a fractured skull, contusions of the neck and the collarbone, you know, what have you. His head, if I remember correctly, they said was about the size of a basketball. Because I remember the photo, it was in my mind. You know, from the various news reports that managed to get around the country. But what ended up happening was one of the officers involved in this just decided to fess up because the feds got involved and this was now a civil rights case. So he fessed up and dropped on and everybody else. And the coroner in that county in Florida said it was clear cut, you know, murder, that the man was beaten to death. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that he had to have been hit, and I'm quoting this now, amazingly hard in order for the, McDuffie, that's his name, that's it. Can't remember his first name, McDuffie. Look it up. Actually, I'll tell you why I know. Eyes and a Prize, a PBS documentary on this. But anyway, this is what happened. After one of the officers who was present and actually involved in the beating confessed and gave up information on the other officers involved in the actual beating of I believe it's James McDuffie, but don't quote me. Marine. Black man. American. James McDuffie. He was beaten to death by police officers in Florida under the reign of Jimmy Peanut Carter. And what the jury came down to after hearing all of the testimony and all of the evidence from the coroner, from the officer who gave up testimony on these other men, they were all found not guilty. And there was a riot, and Carter happened to be down there at the time, and you know, it was pretty messy. And of course they tore up their own neighborhoods. You know, the same thing we saw with the Rodney King fiasco. You know, they tore up their own community. You know, we've seen this time and time again in various disturbances. Where, you know, I'm old enough to remember the 60s and 70s, where, you know, Chicago, parts of Houston, parts of Dallas, right? Gary, Indiana. I don't think Gary ever recovered. You know, Miami, of course. I don't remember too much in like the, you know, when I say the deep south, I'm talking about the Carolinas and what have you. I know Atlanta saw its share. Philly saw way too much. Newark, where I was, for a couple of these race things, I happened to be there. It was not nice. And the police were not kind in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I was looking out of windows and watching all of this, and, you know, as a young person. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't say this lightly, you know, because you got a lot of wannabe revolutionaries who tout RBG and they wear a lot of camouflage, and, you know, they talk a lot. They don't have any real understanding. They think they do, because basically they're talking to other people who are just like themselves. So, you know, it's a cult mentality. It just goes around in a circle. And when you have a circle argument, you go nowhere but in circles. And I love them, and I don't hate them, you know, and I don't dislike them. But, you know, they do get on my nerves, because they will not listen to rational arguments. They just yell and shout, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. And, you know, I would like them to really educate themselves on something more than Sun Tzu's The Art of War. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, and that is a book that does make sense when it comes to strategy and what have you. But, you know, these cats, they're just, you know, and I hate to say this, but it's true. And, yeah, I had a topic, but the hell with it, right? You know, because we're supposed to talk about NATO. Well, actually, we can't talk about NATO, because NATO is included in this. This is all war psychology. This is all war mentality, right? You know, I mean, a black man in America has been stomped on so much and so long. You know, there's always been, you know, a percentage of us, just like in any other group. You got 5, 10, and 85 in every goddamn thing. You know, I don't care what it is in the world. Okay? I'm going to say that again for those who are totally uninitiated and unaware. There's 5%, 10%, and 85% in that breakdown, in those threes, anywhere you go on the planet. Now, I'm not going to get, you know, too much deeper into it, you know, because there's really no need. If you don't understand, you don't understand. But, you know, the bottom line is you will have divisions in everything. Now, is it possible to have harmony within these divisions? Of course. Of course. You know, conservatism has its place. Liberalism has its place. You know, if you want to be like Europeans and come up with a clear dichotomy, good and bad, black and white, up and down, left and right, right? You know, if you want to do that, we can do that. You know, as Jacques Derrida put it, you know, only the European just simply says one way or the highway, you know, and then you have something that comes in between, you know, that he identified as an undecidable. You know, something that totally shakes the European mind up, because they can't fit it into a particular box. And, you know, so many of us are thinking like this, that it, you know, now, because, you know, the more American we become, the more westernized we become, And I'm talking to you cats out there who are wearing the camouflage and the RGB and what have you. You know, that's all European, my brother. You know, all of that is European. All of it. The whole thing. All the berets, all that stuff y'all go and buy from the secondhand, what do you call them? The military supply. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. All that leftover crap from previous genocides. And, you know, you want to walk around with this stuff and parade this. You know, y'all have dreams of being the next Idi Amin or what have you. I mean, go right ahead. But see, you're really mimicking what you hate. You know, I don't know how many of you realize that. And I know, you know, and I'm going to be honest here with the listeners. You know, there have been quite a few of these sorts of brothers who have swung on me because I've identified this right here. But they didn't have any argument for it. You know, Fred Hampton said exactly the same thing. And perhaps this is what made him dangerous. You know, the more you get into this, you know, race thing, you know, where you hate the gay people as if there's no gay folks in Africa. You know, that is ridiculous. Ridiculous. You know, especially since Vodun, I'm not going to say it's based on homosexuality, and do not take me out of context. But everything has a place. You know, and with the argument with, you know, homophobia and homosexuality, and you know, and what we now understand is supposed to be gay, whatever the hell the life is supposed to be, because that's what it used to be called in the African community in the United States, the life. You know, and it's not that anymore. It's some other thing where they're chasing after the white gay model, just like everything else. You know, and I don't want to, you know, name anybody here. They know who they are. You know, they're on TV, and, you know, they always wear suits and so on, and they got their books, and, you know, they got their makeup on, and they're taking the photographs and everything, and they're really popular, and, you know, that's their thing, and that's cool. Do that. But the understanding of homosexuals that, you know, we're dealing with right now, you know, in this political world, and that's mostly dealing with money more than anything else, is, again, a European construct. It is a Western construct. It really doesn't have anything to do with the way the rest of the world looks at it. Now, it's not to say that there aren't Neanderthals and what have you. There are plenty more than is necessary to go around. But you know what? Let's just take a break here because this is a little deeper than I meant to get into. This is The Angry Indian. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned while we take a break so stations may identify themselves. Stay tuned.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Aboriginalpress.blogspot.com.
Go ahead, ready?
I'm Forrest Whitaker for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and this is my daughter, True.
Hi.
Life is full of choices, and many years ago, I chose to become a vegetarian, and it's one of the best choices I've ever made. And since True's dad was a vegetarian, she decided to be vegetarian, too. You may decide to go vegetarian for better health, for a better environment, or you could be like True and I and just decide you don't want to eat meat anymore.
I love animals and I love being a vegetarian.
I'm Forrest Whitaker.
And I'm True Whitaker.
And we're vegetarians.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers, we hate Jews, we hate faggots, and we hate specs. We people need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Internet radio for smarter
originals. Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Yeah. Welcome back. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian. And this is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from radio4all.net. And we are also blogging this podcast from our FeedBurner RSS feed at Aboriginal Press Radio. And we are carried by an ever-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model like Berkeley Liberation Radio. For more information about the news items and opinions discussed on this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspaper, aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com. You can also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk. And you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, as well as the negative elements staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But, you know, regardless of all of that bullshit, they still listen to this show. They cop the ideas they hear in this show. They visit the websites because they want to hear what the hell we have to say. You mean, that's the bottom line with it all, ladies and gentlemen, you know, brothers and sisters. You know, it's like, hey, when you heard Newt Gingrich and the perpetually crazy Glenn Beck talk about Saul Alinsky. You know, do you know about Saul Alinsky? It's like, what's the big deal? Okay, so, you know, he was a Jewish activist, an American Jewish activist who worked with black people, like a lot of the white people that worked with black people, you know. I mean, look, I just had a conversation not too long ago with, I had a conversation with the devil not too long ago. You know, he totally didn't want to hear, and this is somebody that I know, you know, I had to deal with it at the time. I had to deal with the situation as it was because I was in his house and my wife is friends with his wife and, you know, so I had, you know, I dealt with it. I'm not going to say I just took abuse, you know what I'm saying? But it just got to the point where I can't conversate with the man anymore. I have no words for him. You know, the next time I see him, you know, what have you, it's like, look, man, peace on to you. And I'm just going to keep walking. I don't want to talk to him anymore. He's the type of white man that I have totally given up on. Because they will not listen. And no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how much genocide, I'm talking about, when I say genocide, I'm talking about the United Nations prevention and punishment of the crime of genocide. The Raphael Lemkin 1940, I believe it's 1948, law, international law, because of what happened in Germany and in Poland and what the Ustasche did to the Serbs and to the Jews and to the Rom people. And a lot of the gay folks in the Balkans during World War II, you know, yeah, because nobody wants to discuss that. You know, they keep bringing up the Grand Mufti and how he was a major, I believe, in the SS, the Waffen-SS. That's true. You can find the movie clips. You can find the photographs. That's completely true. I'm not going to deny that. Nobody reasonable who knows anything about history is going to deny this. But what the hell? Lehi was working with the Nazis too. You know, there's speculation that the Haganah worked with the Nazis. And I'm saying this because I've sat at the table of not just Holocaust survivors, some of which I knew personally, friends of the family. You dig? With the tattoos. You dig? I don't want to hear any arguments about this. Oh, well, you know, the angry Indian is an anti-Semite. Kiss my beautiful brown ass. I don't want to hear it. Because, see, this is where I'm coming to with that type of mentality, that type of nonsense, and our brothers in the camouflage showing you that you're not that much different than these white guys running around talking about Hitler. It's the same thing. And just to say that really isn't enough, is it? Because that's reductionist within itself. So let's get deeper about it. I didn't mean to get this deep, but let's investigate this just a little bit in terms of bias and how bias works and how ugly it is and how, you know, circular arguments end up getting people massacred. All right, now dig this. I'm sitting here talking to this devil. And like I said, I don't look at white people like that. You know, I'm looking at the metaphor as exactly what it's supposed to be. It's a metaphor. There's no such thing as the devil. I mean, if you believe in the God, I guess you can believe in the devil then. You know, if you want to, you know, be silly, you can go ahead and you can do that. And I'm not trying to insult my, you know, the listeners that are religious, but you dig where I'm coming from on this. It is what it is. You can't prove anything. So, you know, to hell with it. It is what it is. Okay, fine. So I'm sitting across from this white man who, you know, says he's my friend. And, you know, he's been dismissive about a lot of things that I've talked about in terms of racism in this country. Now, this is somebody who's Vietnam age. I don't believe he actually served. He's an extremely educated white man, and he's traveled the world. He continues to travel to this day. He's semi-retired, professional. This isn't somebody who went to community college and, you know, barely. This is somebody who is what they call a man of the world, right? And, you know, he just flat out kicked all this, you know. I mean, it was just pure racist diatribe. And this is somebody who considers himself to be a liberal, and he watches PBS. Matter of fact, he quotes PBS, right? So, okay, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm dealing with this, and I'm realizing I'm sitting across from Simon Legree. And, you know, it's like no matter what I say to him, you know, no matter what I do, no matter what the statistics are, he will, you know, will sit there and say, well, hey, you know, Africans in the United States have had it better than they ever have. Ever. He said that, you know, in the meantime, while there's racial profiling and all types of nonsense, all, you know, things I just mentioned that make the brothers who wear camouflage angry. And so angry to the point where they can't see what the hell is really in front of them because they're fogged up behind their anger. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, to the brothers like you, man, you know, the best thing you can do is to realize that, you know, the devil exists, shaitan exists, you know, but not in the nonsense that you guys are talking about. While you sit there and talk about the Illuminati, I'm saying as somebody who deals with white people on a daily basis, this, you know, you are dealing with white people who tell you that they're your friends, but they're not. Now, you will say, I'm talking about the brother in camouflage right now, will say, yeah, well, you know, all white people are devils. No, that's not true. You know, to be honest with you, you know, a lot of what happens to us is only happening to us because there are a lot of us that are helping them. Remember, 5%, 10%, and 85%. You follow me? Who's in the White House right now? What's happening to Africa right now? What's happening to Africans in the United States right now? What's happening to Africans in Israel right now? Downtown Tel Aviv is alight, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. The Israelis, the white Israelis, the Ashkenazim, of which I am ashamed to be a part, they have decided to attack their African brothers and sisters, the African neighbors, some migrants, some of them actually born in Israel, State of Israel, right? Occupy Palestine. That's what we usually call it around here. And with justification, and this is one of the justifications. You know, here it is. You have a population of Jews. 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 I don't care if they're Ashkenazim, Mizrahi, Sephardim, Falasha. I don't give a damn. They talk about this country being the only real democracy in the Middle East. In the meantime, they're just, you know, playing the war drums. Left and right, up and down, money that should be spent in the United States for the poor, for the Native American who's still begging. Did I say it? Yeah, I'm gonna say it again. Who's still begging? And I'm gonna come to that too, since we're talking about racism in a minute, and how all this ties into NATO in a minute. But you know, I'm offended as somebody who's African. And who's somebody who's part Jewish. You know, two oppressed peoples. Two peoples, if you go far back enough in history, look the same. All of a sudden now, these white folks decide to tear up Tel Aviv. And, you know, I mean, doing pretty much what they're doing out in the outlying, settlements. If you want to call them that. I call them Jewish Bantustans. With a purpose, but you know, you do what you want. You know, you call it, you play whatever semantics you want. I mean, Baruch Goldstein, you know, is a hero to these folks. And then you have, the average Israeli who doesn't agree with any of this, but they're not part of the Likud party. They have no influence, you know, other than being there and standing up when they can. Like that young sister, I don't know what her name is, and we probably shouldn't broadcast the name anyway, even if we do find out what it is, who prevented a young Palestinian youth, you know, a child, basically, from having the hell beat out of him by an IDF border guard. The photographs are out there, you can see them, you know, we have them up at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com as well, and, you know, that type of bravery, intellectually, doesn't even exist in the United States. I mean, I'm not going to say that there are not Jews in the United States who do not support justice. There are. But, you know, they're told that they're not Jewish. Because they don't, you know, just go along with the party line. That, you know, a party line that basically nobody supported. And let me underline this with a capital N. Nobody supported in 1947, 1948. Vast amount of, you know, Jews in the world did not support what the Zionists were doing. And, you know, it's pretty crummy anyway how Zionism has turned out. But then again, you got to look at the origins. You know, I mean, we'll get into it just for a second, just to be clear. Theodor Herzl, you know, yes, he was Jewish by ethnicity, but he didn't identify as a Jew. You know, saying he was an atheist, he didn't believe in God, and he didn't identify outside of a, you know, cultural or ethnic identification. It didn't mean anything to him. And all of this changed when he attended the Dreyfus trial in France, or the L'Affaire Dreyfus, you know, where a Jewish, I can't remember his rank, officer was basically framed. He was set up by the French army. And he was a conservative, but it pretty much got caught down between those who were, totally Judeophobic and those who were not, and simply started to realize that this was progressivism or, liberalism versus the conservatism of the French state. And like I said, it's too many factors for me to go into here. But it was at that point that his being Jewish. And now this is somebody, again, Herzl was a journalist and he ran in the right circles. He was in the right cocktail parties and what have you. And all of that changed. All of a sudden he became a Jew. He wasn't a Hungarian anymore because he was born in what was then Austro-Hungary. The Austro-Hungarian Empire, he wasn't anything anymore. He wasn't a European, quote unquote, any longer. He was now a Jew. So, like Gandhi, who was completely racist. Yeah, I understand a lot of you like Gandhi, but let's just be serious about what is actually known about him. He did not like Africans at all. He did not like untouchables, who are mostly the Africans of India, the Dalit people. They make up the majority of the untouchable class. So, we have a race stigma that is codified in culture and in theology and for the most part, it's recognized in the civil law, isn't it? And, Gandhi, the great liberator, was 100% behind this. I mean, he led troops against Africans in South Africa, colonialized South Africa, who were trying to fight for their own liberation against the British. So, we have to really look at Gandhi and recognize that liberation is often a name for a new oppressor. And when we, look in terms of race and ethnicity, race as a concept scientifically is complete nonsense. There is no scientific grounding for it. It makes absolutely no sense. Ethnicity, culture, that's another thing. But, you brothers, I love you guys. You're in your camouflage, and I know you would jump on a grenade for me if you really thought it would save my life. But, to be honest with you, you're on the right train, but you're going down the wrong track. You got to realize that, the stance that you're taking, this hardline conservative stance that you're taking, this race positive stance that you're taking, you're only fooling yourself. Racial politics are a touchy business. And when you start bringing racial politics and nationalism together, you always make a mistake. And when you add theology into it, you're just asking for something to go wrong. And it's just a matter of time. And I'm not just saying this to you because it doesn't work. I'm saying this to you because it's really stupid. And I don't want anybody to take offense out there because I know how my brothers are. They're very sensitive. I'm not saying that you're stupid. I'm saying that these ideas are stupid. They're not original. You copied them from somebody else. I mean, this type of nonsense has been going around for a long time. And the only reason it even has any sort of fuel is because of the way white people act and what white people do. For those of us who know about COINTELPRO, for those of us who understand what happened and the suicide letters that were sent to the Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King and how they tried to break up his marriage, that, everybody around him damn near was a spy, a various intelligence agency. We understand what happened with Malcolm X. We understand that when he was poisoned in France, that wasn't happenstance. And we understand that what happened at the Audubon Ballroom was a planned event. We should not be negligent of any of these factors. And we should ask ourselves, why is it that when people talk about racial separatism, they seem to not have a problem with the system? But once you start talking about people actually recognizing their differences, but yet being able to sit at the same table respectfully, all of a sudden, now they are monitored, they are watched, and they are usually sabotaged. Whether it's the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, whether it's what the Cuban Revolution was trying to, it has been managing to accomplish despite everything that's been done to them. We saw what happened to Bertrand Aristide in Haiti. You understand? We saw what happened to Mossadegh. You know, we saw what happened to the socialist government that was in Afghanistan before the rise of the Taliban. You know, when the left-wing government was in, women didn't have to wear burqas. They were able to go to, to get educated. They were able to own land. They were able to be treated as human beings. Yes, it was a military dictatorship, but it was left-wing. They didn't take orders from Russia. They had to beg Russia to involve themselves in the situation, but we're told that Russia was the aggressor, and that's not really true. What does this have to do with NATO? Well, it has a lot to do with NATO, because if the same situation popped up today, and, you know, I'm not talking about Libya, but let's just say the same sort of situation popped up today, where we had a legitimate left-wing head of state, left-wing government, like Allende, anywhere in the world. What do you think would happen? Anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world outside of Europe, NATO would be there. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization would be there. And this is what went down in Chicago, brothers and sisters. We watched the police basically arrest people and give them, you know, whatever they did to them, who were in wheelchairs. We're talking about elders. This is how the country treats their elders. Because they say that they're tired of the war, because we all realize that only a handful of bastards, capitalist bastards, are making money off of this, that they're making a profit from this. You know, it's a matter of priorities, isn't it? You know, and it's also a matter of hypocrisy. You know, we have heads of state or representatives of state here in the United States who are talking about internet freedoms while they're blocking the right of Americans and Canadians and even Mexicans from accessing a free internet. There's a certain hypocrisy about a lot of this. And we know that there's a hypocrisy about this because Democrats, of all people, now are in the Congress who are now demanding that propaganda be used within the United States. Because there's a law against it. And now they want to violate that law. And for those of us who remember the Frank Church hearings, you can't call this anything else but fascism. And, you know, you take your guesses on who brought it in. And I'm not talking about the Ron Paul conspiracy theories, because Ron Paul is a Nazi. And Ron Paul will say whatever the hell he's going to say or wants to say, even though he's not going to be elected. He's just thinking it's just going to be another 4 years. It's just going to be another 4 years. And, you know, if you know, those of you who have a problem with me identifying Ron Paul as being a Nazi, well, you know, Nazis only tend to hang around with other Nazis. He's a friend of Don Black's, and he takes money from far-right organizations. He refuses to give the money back. He does not renounce any of their endorsements. David Duke loves him. So, you know, you make up your own mind. You know, read the Ron Paul newsletter. It's out there on the internets. Look at it. Look at it for yourself. Don't believe me. Look at it for yourself and tell me if you don't believe that this man is a member of the far-right. And the far-right sure loves him. So that alone should make you, you know, a little concerned about what the hell is going on, especially since they're burning crosses all across this country. And nobody seems to have a problem with this. You know, number one African in world power, the Nobel Prize for Peace laureate, has not said a thing. But he can talk about the gay population. You can talk about the gay lobby, though, and their trials and tribulations. And they do have trials and tribulations. They do. You'll never hear me say that the GBLT community doesn't have its issues, but how is it that you can pay attention to them, but some police officers in Texas who were filmed stomping a young man within an inch of his life, they were acquitted by an all-white jury. But you can't say anything about that. You can't say anything about Oscar Grant. You can't say anything about any of the African people who have and are continuing to suffer. You know, I mean, Amnesty International is looking at this. The United Nations is now looking at this. Human Rights Watch is looking at this. But, no, Iran's the problem. Muslims are the problem, right? Even though the majority of the violence that is happening in this country that is of an extremist nature is coming from white Christian males. But, you know, let's not let the facts get in our way, right? And let's not let the facts get in our way about being native in the United States. You know, the question about being native in the United States, it's really that. It's a question, isn't it? You know, because is it political or is it ethnic? You know, because you get a lot of natives that want to pull rank. Like, well, I got my AKC pedigree, white, you know, card, so, you know, I'm Indian and you're not. You know, you got blue eyes and blonde hair and you got your white card. I don't have any of that and I'm brown. So it's like, you know, what's the deal? Yeah, I'm talking about the Cherokee Nation. You know, this really shouldn't even talk about a lot of this. And they've been jumping on Elizabeth Warren. And they've really kicked her ass up around her shoulders. Now, you know, I don't know the woman. She might have some native blood in her. She might not. I don't know. But I just find it, you know, pretty peculiar that the Republicans are so concerned now about Native identity and the purity of Native identity that they're now, you know, standing with the racist Cherokee Nation. And I said it like that, and I'm going to say it again. The racist Cherokee Nation was voted out the black members of their nation twice. And as somebody who tried to, you know, check me on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at The Angry Indian Word on Twitter, you know, I told them. I'm like, okay, fine. It's all about sovereignty, right? Well, see, that's the same nonsense that Israel is talking about right now, that only real Jews need to be in Israel because as long as there's Africans and Palestinians in the country, they have no ethnic identity. Well, see, that's the same nonsense they were talking in Oklahoma when they voted out all of the people who are listed legally as freedmen as if they have no African blood. That's the same as white folks saying that, oh yeah, we never touched any of these slaves. We never touched any of mixed people. Oh no, those are love marriages. Those are marriages of emotion and feeling, and they stood against the racism of the day. No. See, that's the kind of bullshit you hear on the Oprah Show. That's not what really happened. You know, the father of the country, George Washington, died coming from the slave quarters. He slipped and hit his head and never recovered. He was coming from the slave quarters in the middle of the night. What do you think he was doing? You think he was over there playing chess? You think he was playing cards and sharing some grog with them? No. No, he and his brother used everybody that they owned, male and female. And, you know, so it's, you know, looking at that, for the Cherokee Nation, I don't care if they're in Oklahoma, North Carolina, or Texas, right? You know, I don't care what band, you know, I don't care what clan, you know, you stood by and you watched these black people who are native, who are part of your nation. If you're going to talk about the nation not being race-based, because, I mean, for those of you who aren't aware, you know, there's no Cherokee reservation, you know, but and there's also no blood quantum. All you got to do is just find a relative on any of the myriad of roles. I mean, there's five that are accepted, which tells you right there that all of this is a sham. There's five different roles out of, what, 30-some-odd? You know, I mean, I hope I'm not exaggerating. I remember somebody telling me there was like 30 some odd different roles. And of course, there's all these debates, but there's five federally recognized. So the great white father in Washington decides these are the five roles that we're going to pull from. And everybody else outside of that, well, you don't count. So, you know, an entire, you know, I mean, whole generations of people have been disenfranchised in what we now know as the five civilized quote-unquote tribes, you know, which means they took on white ways real quick, which is the Cherokee, which is why the Cherokee Nation is so goddamn popular. Every white person in the United States claims to some degree to be of Cherokee blood. You know, I mean, this is a very big claim. And it's not like New Zealand. And what I mean by that is, you know, about 50% of the population that can actually claim to be of Maori background. But, you know, how many people would actually claim that? See, nobody wants to be Maori, including many Maoris, which is a problem for the Maori nation. But they're working on it. You know, but with Americans in the United States, it's this really weird thing. You know, it's like they talk about sovereignty, but then they want to sign up and serve in the military and go take somebody else's land for the same people that took their land. It doesn't make any sense to me. If it makes any sense to you, then you need to explain it to me at angryindianradio@lavabit.com, because it doesn't explain anything to me. I'll have you on the show if you can explain to me how flying the flag of the people who have colonized you and have oppressed you and have killed your people and has imprisoned your leaders, you know, Lennart Peltier, ding ding, remember that name? You know, how that stop? And then, you know, want to argue with me about Israel and their right to do what they're doing to Palestinians. I'm talking about Native Americans wanting to argue with me in a major city in the United States about the right of the Israelis to be racist while telling me that they're sovereign, and then questioning my Indianness because I don't carry one of these AKC pedigree cards. So, you know, when it comes to the issue about Elizabeth Warren, I mean, if she's not Native, yeah, they're right. They have an excellent goddamn point, and I stand on this. If you're not Native, and, you know, I mean, this might be an unfair rule for me, but if you're not at least a quarter, you know, what real claim do you have? You know, I mean, do what you want. You know, I'm less than whatever the hell Filipino. I mean, I mention it, but I don't really make too much of a claim on it. You know, other than the fact that there were certain cultural things that were still carried on in my house, and the same thing with the rest of my background. The only times I really even mention, you know, what I know about is because we actually kept some of these cultural things within the family, you know, way. But, no, you know, this whole thing about Elizabeth Warren right now, I mean, it's a discussion that needs to be had, but does it need to be had the way it's being had? You know, I mean, if they're going to come down on her, you know, pretty much the way they came down on Walt Churchill, all with the exact same claim. And then I know Oprah Winfrey got embarrassed by somebody who made a similar claim, wrote a book, sold a bunch of books on it. And there's been a few things like this. Well, then if you're really upset about who the hell is Indian and what isn't Indian, then ask you start defining what the hell is Indian without asking the white man in Washington how to go about it and what he thinks and whether or not he approves. See, until you can do that, all of this talk about sovereignty is just complete nonsense. You know, as long as you're going to fly the flag that's stomped all over you, instead of simply your flag. And besides, why do you even need a flag? That's again playing into how the white man does everything. And no, you know, I already know there's somebody out there that's going to say, oh, he's telling us what to do. I'm not telling anybody what the hell to do. You know, if you don't like what I'm saying, then don't like it. But, you know, don't sit here and say that I speak to anybody other than the Aboriginal news group and myself, because I don't. I'm just pointing out a blatant contradiction, my people. You can't tell me that you're a sovereign American nation and that you have government-to-government relations with the United States, but then they have all of the rules and all of the rights, and you got nothing. And then you will turn around and take pride in serving in the military that is going to take land and resources and the lives of other people exactly how it was done to you. And you still don't even have running water on many of these reservations. You still don't even have electricity on many of these reservations. And, you know, it's like, I don't even want to hear it. And how many of these people served in the Marine Corps, served in the Navy, served in the Air Force, served in the Army, served in special forces and what have you. And now they're drinking themselves to death and their livers are turning into slush on the goddamn reservation. So I don't want to hear it. See, until you can deal with those situations and deal with the racism in Indian country, I'm not interested in any of your nonsense about I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You're right, I didn't grow up in the reservations. I grew up in the goddamn projects. All right, with being black Indian, you know, it was normal. But almost nobody identified themselves as such. You dig? Because, you know, one drop rule, everybody's just black, right? So, you know, we had to live basically in the damn shadows. And you had a lot of people that, you know, did what they thought was ceremony and gave themselves what they thought were names that were more Indian-like and stuff. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to disavow the fact that you got a lot of brothers and sisters out there calling themselves chief and chiefess. Barefoot of the broken tree tribe or what have you. You know, they just make up these communities and so on and then go on about their business, and you know, they say that they're legitimate. You know how they, you know, I mean, look, they come to that conclusion because that's how it would have been before white folks had shown up. you know this and I know this. Now, I'm not justifying it, but you gotta understand something. These are people who are not getting recognition any other way, so they're trying to find a way for themselves to exist. And, you know, what they need is education. What they need is a helping hand. What they need is to be, you know, communicated with, not clowned. Because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that white people get off, you know, with appropriating Indian stuff and nobody says anything. But it happens all the time, and people do get mad, but they don't insult them, in, you know, I mean, personal insults and racial insults and so on, the way Indians do African people. All right, you know, who do this. And this is a reality. And, you know, one last thing before I go out here. You know, this idea that the American Indian is somehow superior to other indigenous people, where you don't want to be called Aboriginal, you don't want to be called indigenous, you want to be associated with that. You know, like I said, man, cop on to yourselves. You know, that this, you know, nonsense about, you know, you're somehow superior to the other, you know, First Nations people around the world, and even in Canada, is an attitude that needs to be, man, just check yourself. You know, I don't know where the hell, you know, I mean, this is, again, you know, this whole idea of, well, if we copy what the white man does, we'll be just as powerful and just as strong and have everything that the white man. That you know, that attitude of American exceptionalism and American exceptionalism in Indian country is ridiculous. Where the hell do you get off thinking that you're better than our brothers and sisters, you know, further south in the Rio Grande? And where the hell do you get off thinking you're better than any of our brothers and sisters in the great white or north? They stand up for their rights far more often than we do. And they pay a heavier price than many of ours do. And I'll tell you something, many of them argue for Lennon Peltier more than you do. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Ideal.
My arms are tired, Phil. We've reached out for 500 years.
Too late now.
We faced tanks. We faced water hoses and cattle prods. Vicious dogs bit the breast of black women off in those protest marches of the civil rights movement. Vicious four-legged dogs sicked on us by two-legged dogs bit into the groin and the private parts of black men, women, and children. So, Mr. Donahue, I believe that the white man is absolutely disagreeable to live with in peace, and that no one has been able to get along with him nowhere on the face of 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth.
Proves what I says, because that includes you and the blacks,
the Jews and Gentiles,
and the Greek word for Gentiles means non-Jews. Jews and non-Jews.
I'm talking about the Bible. What's in the Bible?
But in the Bible it says Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles.
You know, the question was, you say some are good, some are trash.
If you say that all blacks are devils as well as all whites,
no, blacks are not devils.
Because that's what that says.
Who have we rich? Who have we raped?
No,
who have we slaved?
Oh, thousands of people in the Congo and in Africa.
I'm not against blacks.
I'm saying blacks and whites, we're all awful, maybe.
But everything black people do wrong comes from
this
you.
Is what I
drinking,
just said about
smoking, prostitution, homosexuality, lying, stealing, gambling,
cannibalism.
It all comes from you.
You know, there's things on your side, too.
I don't know about
cannibalism. Look, the thing I was just saying was that I'm not against what you say, that some white people are the devil. I'm just trying to save you from some of your own quotes. The point is that you said that all white people are devils. Elijah, now, if you say
that, no, Elijah, you quoted us, God told him that all God white people are devils.
Because the thing
God
is,
I wasn't wrong because I ain't seen no good ones yet.
No,
and I travel all over the country.
No, the thing is that you
I
said
I've seen one good one.
No, but you said all white
not
people.
Not even you.
No, I'm terrible. I'm terrible.
No,
I'm,
don't you do good.
I'm terrible. No. But you said all white people are devils.
Elijah
and
Muhammad
I
says
yeah,
it.
And I then said no. Well, if you say that the Bible says that all people are sinful, I go along with that. And you've just read that long quote that proves that point. It says all Jews and Gentiles. And in the Bible, Gentiles means all people who are not Jews. Not just whites,
no,
but blacks, greens, blues,
that.
And everybody.
You're teaching me something I don't know.
Well, I thought I should tell you that, you see. I thought I should tell you.
This is DJ Fusion of the Fusebox Radio Broadcast and BlackRadiosBack.com, and you're now listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, another slice of real black radio for the masses. All right? Peace.
AngryIndianRadio.blogspot.com.
दोपहर को कहाँ गई थी?
दोपहर को बाजार गई थी।
पता क्यों नहीं जा सकती थी?
अरे अभी इसकी क्या बताना?
पड़ोसियों से पता चलता है मुझे।
पता चले तो क्या हुआ?
चुप। ये घर मैं चलाता हूँ। मुझसे पूछे बगैर कोई काम नहीं होगा इस घर में। चल चलो समझ।
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।
एचआईवी संक्रमितहरूलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईवी अरूलाई मात्र होइन तपाईँलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and First Voices Indigenous Radio.org.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You go to Nigeria, which is, if not the most corrupt nation in Africa, and it is, it could be the most corrupt nation in the world, Minister Farrakhan.
Now, Mr. Wallace.
It is the most corrupt nation that I have ever covered. I've been there 25 years ago, and I've been there as recently as last year.
Fine. So what? 35 years old. That's what that nation is. Now, here's America, 226 years old. You love democracy, but there in Africa, you're trying to force these people into a system of government that you just have accepted. 30 years ago, black folk got the right to vote. You're not in any moral position to tell anybody how corrupt they are. You should be quiet and let those of us who know our people go there and help them get out of that condition. But America should keep her mouth shut wherever there's a corrupt regime, as much hell as America has raised on the earth. No, I will not allow America or you, Mr. Wallace, to condemn them as the most corrupt nation on earth when you have spilled the blood of human beings? Has Nigeria dropped an atomic bomb and killed people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Have they killed off millions of Native Americans? How dare you put yourself in that position as a moral judge? I think you should keep quiet. Because with that much blood on America's hands, you have no right to speak. I will speak because I don't have that blood on my hand. Yes, there's corruption there. Yes, there's mismanagement of resources. Yes, there is abuse. There's abuse in every nation on earth, including this one. So let's not play holy to moralize on them. Let's help them.
I'm not moralizing. I'm asking a question, and I got an answer.
Why would you put it as the most corrupt regime in the world? That doesn't make sense.
Can you think of one more corrupt?
Yeah, I'm living in one. I'm living in one. Yes, you've done a hell of a thing on this earth, so you should not be the one to talk. You should be quiet when it comes to moral condemnation, in my judgment.
This is Radio Anglo-Indian. Anglo-Indian Radio for the Fourth World.